Hello, and welcome to the Off Kilter Quilt. My name is Frances. I'll be your hostess. Hello, and welcome to episode 173, the Travis is Still Snoring episode. I'm very irritated at myself right now because I just recorded the second quilt diary. I was funny. I was on point. I was focused. And yes, I just accidentally deleted it. So anyway, that's kind of irritating that I did that, but you know what? We'll move on. I will do this introduction and then I will re-record and hopefully remember what I had to say and how to say it concisely. I want to thank everyone who commented on the last episode, which was episode 172, the bathroom tour episode. I want to say thanks to Noni, whose most recent episode on Noni Quilting Dreams is quite good about entering quilt shows or thinking about quilt shows, putting your quilts in there, getting judged. So I recommend a listen. And Noni, I owe you a comment. Heard from Margaret K. Heard from Kristen a couple times. Heard from Quilt and Jenny. Yes. And as always, I can hear Quilting Jenny down in Atlanta screaming at me when I forget words, and the last word I forgot was variegated. She was yelling it. Yes. And people are, by the way, Jenny and Kristen and others are being very nice about Carrie's quilt, wedding quilt. I'll be talking about that in the first quilt diary and in the second soon-to-be-recorded quilt diary. Heard from Kelly the Fifth and Amy, a.k.a. AJ Dub, who actually loves the wall color in my bathroom. She likes orange and blue together. Doesn't have an opinion on the other tissue box. Couldn't really tell the color, which is kind of a grayish, greenish, darkish thingish. Yes. Heard from Debbie Kidd. Debbie, we're almost at our one-year anniversary. Maybe we're past it. I got to meet Debbie last year. Very fun. If you're coming to town, let me know. I'm in Central North Carolina. And she shares my frustration with pinked edges on pre-cuts. Yes. And what she says I thought was very interesting. She attended a trunk show recently with Jenny Doan from Missouri Star Quilting. And Jenny mentioned that they are trying to get Moda to do away with the pinked edges of their pre-cuts. That would be lovely. Let me know if you hear any more about that, Debbie. Heard from Denise in Pennsylvania, who said a friend of hers has been doing the fasting diet and has had a lot of luck with it, as I discuss in the first quilt diary. I didn't have that hard of a time with the fast, so I may be looking into that. Heard from Nancy M., who wishes that I would stop saying that I'm old at 51. She is pushing 64, and she is not old. I don't really think I'm old. Mostly I feel like I'm 12. I'm either 12 or 27. So I don't know. You know, so even if I joke about being old, I'm really not. I don't really actually feel that 51 is that old. Although it was Thursday, I had a meeting with a young man from our church. He's an intern. He goes to Duke Divinity School. He's an intern at our church, and I'm going to be on his ministry team, his lay ministry team, through his internship. And we had a great talk. He's very interesting, very bright, and he was 27. And you do feel oldish when you start having meetings with 27-year-olds and you're like, yeah, I really could be his mom. I mean, I could be his mom many years over, right? But what would I be like if he's 27? Yeah, 24. That all kinds of people have babies at 24, so that's kind of interesting. But no, I don't really feel old, but I will. And Jay got on me about that too, so I'll stop. Heard from Jackie, actually commenting on episode 170, and just being sad about my friend David, I was thinking about him yesterday as I was walking, and just got very sad all over again. And heard from Jay. She is on a podcast delinquent listening binge, catching up with Pam, and now catching up with me. Yay! And she said, don't stress about the wedding. I have a year to send Carrie's quilt. I hope to do that I hope it doesn't take me a year to get it to them. Talk more about the quilt in the quilt diaries. So anyway, thank you, Jay. Thank you, everyone, for taking the time to comment or to email. And like I said, I love hearing from you. Now I'm trying to be a little bit better about the length of the podcast, not keeping it shorter rather than longer. I guess one way to do that is to delete entire quilt diaries. But in an effort to stay shorter rather than longer, I say let's get on to the quilt diaries. Quilt diary day one. It's Saturday, October 10th. I still want to keep saying September. It's like the calendar has stopped on September 22nd for some reason. I can't figure it out. It's in the morning, and the main reason I'm recording is because I've got Travis snoring next to me, and I know some of you really enjoyed that. Some of you were actually a little frightened by it last time, who was snoring in my car. Oh, it's Travis. I've also got a train. I don't know if you can hear it. I love that we can hear the train from our house. It's actually, the tracks are about a 5-minute drive from here. But you can hear the train. Now, earlier, we also had our backyard neighbors, the ones with the screaming children, who are still screaming. It's been a couple years since they've been there. The children's still intense and screaming. Again, moved by pity, I have not called the cops. Because what would it be like to have a child who screams all the time? I think that would be very hard. I understand locking that child in the backyard for hours on Saturday morning. That's not really true. They just usually 20 minutes, right when the birds are singing their sweetest. But we did have the screaming children, the leaf blower, and yes, Taylor Swift. Haters gonna hate, babe. Dig it. And now they're hammering. They do a lot of hammering. The thing is, you know, it's free country. That's all. That's where I am philosophically on the noise this one yard produces. And, you know, it's Saturday. It bums me out on Sundays. I think people should be cool on Sundays. And I don't think people should do any work on Sundays at all. But, you know, for not just for religious reasons, but for mental health reasons. And, you know, you need to chill. You got to have a day to chill. These people, not chilly. They did have a party last week, but it ended at a nice, respectable hour. I think, in fact, I was at another party that lasted late into the night. So, hey, these guys got nothing on us 50-year-olds partying down around the corner. I might have told you about that. Just my neighbor's party. I have no idea what I told you because you know what? I had, colonoscopy yesterday. And you're probably tired of hearing about it. But I think, first of all, I'm of the belief that it is good to say things like, I am having a colonoscopy, I've had a colonoscopy, because it's an important test to have once you turn 50, and I dreaded it so much that I put it off a year, but I don't, you know, it's better than never doing it at all, and it was fine. Do you know what? Even the fasting, and that's actually more than the taking the medicine to clear one's system. I think that's as far as we'll go. Well, we're going to stay as euphemistic as we possibly can. That wasn't that bad. It wasn't painful. It wasn't, you know, I've been through worse, quite frankly. So that wasn't bad. And the fasting, because you could have chicken broth. And so I just had a lot of chicken broth on Thursday and a lot of grape juice, because I was just going for some calories, which chicken broth has barely none. So I got the man to go get me some grape juice because I wanted some calories. So it was actually fine. And I could see doing, you know, a sort of chicken broth fast periodically just to kind of, you know, just kind of have a day where, I mean, it's supposedly healthy to fast. And if I can fast and eat, then hey, why not? But anyway, so that even that was not so bad. The worst part was just probably the couple hours before the procedure, in which no food, no drink. You know, so, and when you tell me I can't have something to drink, I'm immediately like, I'm in the Sahara Desert and I'm so thirsty. And you know, and I was, but by the time I was lying on the bed with, you know, waiting to be put under, I was like, I just really want a pizza. But really, the process, I don't even know what happened. I don't know. And it's kind of funny because I'm still a little out of it now. They say, and apparently the doctor talked to the man. after the procedure. The doctor would, I don't, this guy, it just, I went where my family doctor said, here, go here. This is where you should have it done. And most doctors don't have very good bedside manners. They may not have good bedside tables either. I don't know. I suspect this guy doesn't. But, he was just the bit, it was almost like, yeah, hey, whatever. Okay, nice to meet you. You can tell I'm still a little giddy, which is actually part of why I'm recording this, because I just think I might say funny things. But in the paperwork that the doctor, the not unfriendly doctor, the not going to be my best friend anytime soon doctor, gave to the man after the procedure, basically said one thing, it's like, don't operate heavy machinery for the next 24 hours. And I'm like, oh, I'll be fine. And like, here it is, it's about 10 on Saturday morning. I'm like, oh, I am not operating my sewing machine. So I feel fine, and Carrie's wedding is this afternoon, and I'm very glad that I have very, very low heels. But so to me, the most interesting thing is just being put under, because I have no, they said, turn on your, I have no, they kind of got me positioned for the procedure and put in whatever they put in me, already had a stent or whatever in my hand, and I don't really remember remember anything. I remember waking up and the man was there, and I think the doctor was talking, and at some point I got dressed. I have some vague notion of getting dressed. I have no memory of walking, of leaving the building. None. I have a little memory, like I slept most of the way home. I would wake up. I slept most of yesterday, and it's kind of nice. We all need a really good rest from time to time, and medically sanctioned rest is the best kind, because no one can make you do anything. So anyway, so here's to saying, for those of you who have been dreading this procedure, don't. And that's what most people told me. In fact, everyone told me that. They said, you may feel a little, the fast is not fun. But everyone said the worst part is the prep, and that is true, and the prep wasn't even bad. It is kind of a little bit of a lost day, the day before, just, because you don't have a lot of calories to expend. Certainly if I had a job, a real out in the world job, I could have gone. But I chose mostly to relax and do some de-quilting. So let's bring this back to quilting. Oh, I hope you heard Travis snoring there, by the way. He was doing some good snoring. So Carrie's quilt, which I'm not taking to the wedding, which I think I had decided that anyway by the end of the last episode. And then it makes it sound like a TV show. And last week's episode, Frances decides not to take the quilt. But then I heard from, I think, Quilt and Jenny, and maybe Jay, but certainly Quilt and Jenny, I think, posted on Twitter, and her post was, do not take the quilt to the wedding. And the idea, I guess, which was kind of what I've been thinking too, it's going to be chaotic. No one's, and as Jay pointed out, no one's going to open it, which I knew. I mean, it's not like a birthday party where you all gather in a big circle while the bride opens her presents. But it also just adds a level of problems for the mother-in-law, or not the mother, the mother of the bride, or maybe the mother-in-law too. I have to say, as I'm doing this quilting, they're all muggles, right? Except somebody's grandmother is going to be a quilter and look at that quilting and go, I don't know what she was thinking about. But that's neither here nor there, because the quilt's not for the grandmother. The quilt's for Carrie and sort of for Ben. But yeah, so I decided, because I just decided, I'm not taking this to the wedding, which gives me extra time. And I'm not doing a ton of unquilting or de-quilting. I go back and forth on which I like better. Kind of unquilting, I think, but it's more de-quilting, sans quilting, anti-quilting, whatever. So here's what I did. So if you look at the quilt, and hopefully I plan to, once I'm back to using heavy machinery again, which hopefully should not be too long, I will finish the quilting. I don't plan to now put this off forever, because there's other stuff I want to get to, but I'm getting to a picture that I can see. Okay, So if you're looking at a picture of the quilt, each block is made up of four squares, and they're sort of, I don't know if you would call them, they're log cabin-y, sort of, yeah. And the squares draw a diagonal line across. Of course, you have opposing triangles. And so the way I quilted was just to quilt a quarter inch in, inside of each triangle. So made with the quilting a triangle within the triangle. And I did that on both sides. Very simple. And then what I've been doing with the sashing is imagine the Olympic rings. I don't know how many rings are in the Olympic rings. And mine have more rings. But just that idea of, say, a row of four or five rings, one up, down, up, down, but ringed together, right? We've got that image. We can just all Google Olympic rings right now. Here we go. All you have to do is put in Olympic and you, okay. So Olympic rings are five rings. Okay. So at this point, being me, I have an idea, being not smart or practical like other people, instead of sketching out that idea until I come up with what I want, I thought, what the hey, I'll just get going and see what happens. And so my idea, and I actually, for the first few, I actually used a spool of thread, used the bottom of the spool, and used a marking pen, one of those blue ones where you wash it out before you put the quilt in the washing machine, and did four rings, starting actually with a half ring, you know, so it looks like it's a part of a larger thing. Does that make sense? So that that the rings are continuous through the quilt. That was a concept. I'm not sure it worked. But anyway, I think probably did five rings. And then, of course, quilted over my markings. And then just started going for broke. Because I'm like, wow, I don't really want to mark every ring. Which meant that not every sashing strip, quilted sashing strip, looks exactly the same. And I kept going back. I'd done quite a few. And you know, it's one of those things where you do it for a while and then you get into your rhythm. Then you figure out, oh, this is what's really working. And then you have to go look back at where you started and decide, can I live with this? And can I live with the fact that it's not, each strip really is not the same? And this is, you know, this is interesting because, you know, I love Angela Walters, and she's been very important for me as I've developed as a machine quilter. But, you know, her style is very modern, and you can learn from her. Particularly, she's got the book on, quilting for every shape or something like that, which is useful. It's like, okay, here's triangles, here's circles, here's rectangles, here's squares, whatever. And that here's different ways to approach them. And that's very useful. And the fact is, with quilting, what I've learned over the years and have discussed here, it's really for the, you know, it's learning to break the quilt down into parts. You know, unless you're just doing an overall meander or stipple. If you're going to do something a little more complicated, then you break the quilt down and you're looking at it, for instance, like looking at Carrie's quilt, looking at the squares, doing the diagonal to have the triangles, and then working with the triangle in each square. So that's helpful, whatever kind of quilt you're quilting, whether it's modern or traditional, whatever. When you get to spaces like sashing and borders, and I think I mentioned I was very generously gifted a Craftsy class by Karen and Charlotte, and I got the Angela Walters class, a fairly new class on borders and other spaces. I can't remember what the other spaces are, which is a good class and it's helpful. But again, some of the modern style of quilting these spaces, particularly the sashing, is not really appropriate for this quilt. But I also know I'm not going to do feathers. You know, just that would be beyond me.
But also, but and the sashing fabric itself actually has little kind of starburst, and they themselves are kind of loose, you know. So it's not a traditional static pattern. So I felt like the rings would work, and interestingly, I kept going back to look at the quilt and see, do I hate this? Is it really going to bother me that each sash does not mirror every other one? And it really did not. And I think partly it's because the standing away from the quilt, you don't really see it. You just see the overall pattern. You just, so I don't know how to explain that very well. It becomes, you know, if you're standing 5 feet away, what you're aware of is a circular pattern in the sashing. Maybe because the fabric itself has this unstatic white starburst, and they're small. They're probably like, let's say, the size of a dime. Let's go penny. So they're pretty small. So there's something about those erratic starbursts, which is actually the name of my next band, the Erratic Starburst, that I think gives a little permission to be erratic in that space, I'm hoping. But you know, last time I was talking about color and intuiting color and how I feel like intuitively we understand color very well, probably just being in nature. If nature has color down, right? There's not a lot of spots in nature where you're going, oh, those colors don't go together. So, you know, from that and from just being visual people, reading magazines, we see a lot of great design and a lot of great use of color. So I feel very strongly that intuitively we get color, but it can be hard to put it together ourselves. And in the same way, I think intuitively when we look at pattern, in this case a quilting pattern, we know when something feels right, when something satisfies us visually, and when something just seems off. And so I kept looking, you know, and I would walk in and, you know, do my casual, just passing through kind of look and my close-up. And I found that the inconsistencies in the rings didn't really bother me. Partly because, again, from a distance, you don't see them. Close up, you can only see a few, and your eye can't take in the whole picture. So your eye's not going, you know, you're just seeing a little piece at a time, and therefore it's okay if they're not all the same. Nonetheless, there were some rings that were, well, really not rings. Some rings had a real potato look to them. I thought, I don't want to do that. And there were just a couple places where I think I can make this prettier. So it's not like, oh, so therefore I ripped out all the quilting. I really didn't. And I'm still not, I still don't feel like, well, now I'm going to go back and make everything exactly the same, because I just don't think that's necessary. Like I said, somebody's grandmother will look at it and go, wow, she really didn't know what she was doing. And that's fine. I stand convicted because, you know what, I really don't know what I'm doing, really most of the time. So I'm, I still have to figure out how I'm going to quilt the outer border. And I felt like the Angela Walters class actually had some very good ideas for that. I have... I can see right now my Irish chain quilt where I really wish I had quilted the borders and I didn't. So, and you know, Angela, she feels very strongly about quilting borders, and now I do too, but I think I'll do something very, very simple. I've done a lot of pretty bad border quilting in my life, so I'm very thankful for this class, because I want to be guided. I need guidance. So anyway, that is us here on this Saturday morning with Travis snoring beside me and me thinking about, in a few hours I'm going to a wedding, and I hope I'll feel a little more awake. This is not a bad way to feel. You know that kind of nappy feeling you get, you know, like on a cool fall afternoon? I kind of like it. You know, I would never get anything done, you know, feeling this way all the time, but it's kind of like, wow, this is kind of cool. So yeah. I think that's all I have to tell you, Quilty Wise. I was going to talk to you. You know, I will mention this. I got two new magazines. Sometimes I splurge, you know, on these more expensive magazines. And one that I got is Simply Modern, which is expensive. It's like $18, and it's quarterly, and it's the same publisher who does...
It's the same publisher that does Quilt Mania, which I love, and it's another one of my splurges. I'm playing the other thing. The other one I got, I'll go back to Simply Modern just a sec, was Generation Q, which we've talked about before because they did do an article a couple issues ago about podcasting and podcasters, and that was very cool. I'm really, you know, and it's another kind of expensive one. It's $9.99. It's bi-monthly, and I really like it, though, and of course I like it because, as you know, if you've listened for any amount of time, I like quilting magazines that actually have a lot of articles. And this has the most recent issue, which is September-October 2015. Guess who shows up? My girl, Victoria Finley Wolf. Yeah, you know, so always exciting. And she talks about a quilt she did called the Panty Quilt, which is very fun. They have an article. Yeah, they have an article about Rob Appel, or Apple. I don't know how you say it, but about man sewing. Hey, in fact, they have a couple articles. It's sort of the man's issue. They have an article about Bill Volkanine. I hope I'm saying that right. He's a quilt historian and a quilt collector. He seems really neat. He's got a good blog. If I think about it, I will link to it in the show notes. He seems like an interesting character. So anyway, but a good long article about him. So I appreciate that. And although it is one of these, like if you recall our old beloved and now gone quilter's home, there's like, here's this month's cocktail. I'm like, what is with the cocktails and the quilting? Whatevs. But anyway, and lots of patterns, and I'm trying, you know, the patterns are nice. Again, trending modern, I think almost entirely, but not simplistic. Some of them are more simplistic than others, but I think a lot of neat stuff. So, also has, and I haven't sat down and played with this, but they have an article called The 25 Inspirational, called 25, not The 25, 25 Inspirational Pinners and Pin Boards. So if you're into Pinterest, it gives a lot of good folks. And I have not sat down and gone and followed all these people, but it really sounds neat. And so so I like articles like that too. So very fun. So I think well worth the $10, but that does seem expensive. But a lot of content for your $10. Now, back to Simply Modern. What I got was the premiere issue. I think the second issue is out. It is quite lovely. It really is a beautiful magazine and has lots of patterns, again, modern. I think there's one in here by my girl Victoria, and in fact, there is a portrait article. It's called Portrait, Victoria Finley Wolf. There is a nice piece by Meg Cox, who wrote the Quilters Catalog, and who's very involved in Quilt Alliance, an organization that I support very strongly. And and then there's an article about American-made brand cotton, which is now my new favorite cotton. So anyway, it's beautiful. It's very expensive, and I don't know why. It's so expensive. Well, a lot of beautiful color, I have to say. And there's like patterns, not only patterns, but they include the templates, like in the there's a centerfold and it's templates for some of the quilts. So I mean, it's beautifully done, and I do like the patterns very much. Okay, I had to pause there a minute, and now I think I was saying just very good patterns in the Simply Modern. I mean, a lot of really nice ones. I could actually see making a couple. So worth the $20 as a splurge. Well, $18, but as a splurge. It's beautiful. It's a beautiful magazine. One of the nice things in this issue, too, is that they have the quilts, the winning quilts from QuiltCon. Pictures, of course. So, you know, yeah, beautiful photography. I think as a splurge, ask for it for Christmas. The subscription, I think, is like $50 a year, which is, you know, a good deal. Yeah, but it was fun. It was fun to have those. I got it's a good thing about like having an invasive medical procedure, is that it gives you an excuse to treat yourself. So lots of treats this week, nice magazines. I bought the new Patti Smith book, M Train, which I think I'm actually, once I finish recording, I'm going to go out on my porch now that the leaf blowing and screaming and Taylor Swift seem to be gone, and read a little bit and ponder the wonders of marriage as I'm going to a wedding this afternoon. And hopefully I will be back very soon with more quilty news. Talk to you later. Bye. Quilt Diary Day 2. It is Saturday, October 24th. I wonder if I just recorded the introduction. I wonder if I said September 24th. I still can't get past September. I don't know why. I recorded a great Quilt Diary Day 2 about an hour ago and deleted it accidentally. I'm not really happy about that because it was really, really good. I was so on point. I was so precise and focused and concise. It was just all good. In any event, you may be wondering, okay, it's been 2 weeks exactly since my last Quilt Diary. What happened? What happened? Well, let's just say I'm a hypocrite, and I couldn't bear to confess that to you. I couldn't bear for you to know, because in the first quilt diary, what did I do? Talked about, well, I'm going to unquilt a little bit of the sashing, but, you know, it's like muggles, and who cares, but people's grandmas, and blah, blah, blah. What did I end up doing? When I sat down to unquilt a couple pieces of sashing, I unquilted the whole quilt. Not the squares. The squares were fine. There was some quilting that needed to be redone, just in a couple places. But no, I undid all the circles, because when you start looking at that quilt up close, you're just like, I can't. No, this doesn't work. And I just couldn't stop myself. And the fact is, I kind of like to unquilt. You know, it's such a crazy process, the way I do things, which is to totally mess them up and then fix them. And that's pretty much the story of my entire life. So yeah, I've spent the last 2 weeks unquilting and watching Game of Thrones, which is, if you're wondering, really, really violent, but good. It's good storytelling, and I just closed my eyes during the violence, which is probably why it's taken 2 weeks to unquilt, because there's so much violence in that show. Yes. So anyway, yeah. Yeah, I just couldn't. You start looking at it, you can't live with it. So that's where I've been. That's where I've been. I wanted to tell you about a couple things. One, and I posted about this on the Twilters Facebook. I signed up for Creative Bug. They have a 2-week trial period. It's either 2, maybe 10 days. In any event, signed up because I was kind of interested, and it's fairly inexpensive. Whereas with Craftsy, you pay for the class. With Creative Bug, you pay for the streaming, for the whole channel. Let's call it that. And it's maybe $6 a month. It's really not all that much. But I got on there, and one of the reasons I got interested was I knew there were some really good teachers. Teaching classes. I thought, well, that might, you know, I'd like to see what's going on. And what I realized when I got on Creative Bug is there are great teachers, and the classes do look good, but they're project-based classes. And the technique-based classes, for the most part, were not ones I needed. You know, there's like one on binding. Well, I have a Craftsy class. It's on borders and binding and all that. But I also pretty much know how to bind a quilt. So teachers, you know, there's like Kay Fassett and what is her name? It's like Liza Lucy and Kay Fassett teach a class. You know, Denise Schmidt is on there, and Heather Jones, and some really good modern quilting people. So great teachers, the classes look good. I asked people on Facebook, I asked the twilters, like, is anyone doing creative bug? And what was interesting is the people who were seemed to be doing other courses. We're not doing quilting so much as art classes. And, you know, and there's clearly an argument for, well, you know, this will all contribute to your quilting, right? But I know myself well enough to know that I wouldn't do the other classes. So anyway, and the amazing thing about this whole experience is I actually canceled my subscription before the trial period was up and they started charging me money. That is amazing. The other thing I did recently is I joined the Modern Quilt Guild and I did it online. I did not do it locally. I'm not actually convinced that my local group is that active, and partly it's just they used to have a web page and now they don't. They have, and their Facebook page is not very active. I would like to go to a meeting. The meetings are at bad times. They're Sundays, 5 to 7. It's like every second Sunday. So sometime in the near future when that works out with my schedule, and you know, I just, we like to have a nice Sunday dinner. So that's the thing. But some Sunday when that works with my schedule, I'll go check it out and see if they're still meeting. Their meeting place is at Spoonflower, which is that place they, if you want to design your own fabric, they will produce, you know, you send JPEGs or whatever of your designs and they produce the fabric for you. Now, I've never been there, so I'd like to see, I'd like to go to Spoonflower and see what's up with the Modern Quilt Guild here. But I joined the National Modern Quilt Guild and I joined online in part because I wanted to have access to their webinars, partly for research and partly just out of personal interest. They do these, they do business webinars and creative webinars. And the one that I'm looking forward to that's coming up in November is Mary Fonds is doing one on quilt history, which she has gotten very interested in lately, apparently, if you listen to her interview on Crafty Planner. That was earlier in the spring. She talks a lot about that and how she's gotten interested and how she thinks it's important, as do I. So, and I will be interested to see what it's like to view one live because they have them archived. So you can watch, there's just tons to watch, but the ones I've watched so far, it's not like watching, it's a webinar. It's not like watching, it's like watching a PowerPoint without seeing the presenter. The presenter is recorded and you see the PowerPoint, but you don't see her. So I'm curious if you watch them live, if the experience is at all different. But I've been watching, listening to one recently on the history of modern quilting. It's very interesting. So that was one reason. You know, and since I'm writing about quilting, I get to deduct it, the membership from my taxes. So that's very cool. One of the things that I've been working on besides the unquilting is my website. And partly, you know, the new website, it's not up. So it's going to be francisquilts.com. And its primary purpose is sort of a vehicle to market and publicize the quilt novels. But also it's a place for me to gather all my quilty stuff in one place. So, you know, when I publish a podcast, I will publish it there as well. And then also upload to iTunes, of course. But I want to do a blog in which I'm writing about the things, not so much about my personal projects, but about the sort of quilting history and quilt culture and the things that kind of catch my interest and my attention. And in fact, I have been working because these are not time. What would you call that? Jenny, do you know? Quilt and Jenny, you there? It doesn't matter. They're not timely. They're eternal. So I'm working on blog posts now, because I'd like to have a number in the can before we go live. I also want, there will be, I need to do, you know, I'm working on these two different quilt books and with the intention of them being series. And so like have a page for each series in each book. And I want to, of course, have a blog roll with all the quilty blogs and I can't remember if I mentioned this last time or not, but I also have been working on short stories with the idea of posting stories, having stories available on the website that would also be available for e-readers on Amazon. On the website, they would be free for e-readers. It'd probably be 99 cents because I think you kind of have to do that. Anyway, and I have actually been finished drafts of two stories. So I'm excited about that. It's been really, really fun to work on those. And of course, they're about quilting, about quilters. And it's been so fun to do it. The manuscripts, I think one was 20 pages and the other was 25. And even in my my middle grade novels, those are, the manuscripts are like 170 pages. So this is like, so like to finish a story in 20 pages, like, wow, this is so cool. I really have had a good time working on those. So anyway, I have finished up a lot of my kid stuff for right now. I sent in a first draft of the second book in the early chapter book series I'm working on. I've got all my copy edits in, all my tweaking in on various projects. So I'm really kind of lying low until early next year, and then I'll get back on some other stuff. So this for the next 2 months, it's really what I'm working on is the quilting novels, revising, the website, all the stuff that I've wanted to do for a long time, and I've just needed the time and space to do it, and I have that right now, which is super, super exciting to me. So that's going on in my life, and I have found a good place to work outside the house. It's called the Mad Hatter. It's a bakery and cafe. I stay away from the baked goods to the best of my ability, but it's got a lot of seating. The seating is good. A lot of people come there and work, and the people watching is good. The music is good. The sound level is good. And so I've really liked it. So that's my place. That's my place. I got a place. And I've been doing a lot of work there. So I guess the last thing I'll talk about is a couple books that I have just finished. I just finished two books recently. One is M Train by Patti Smith, which is a memoir. You might recall a couple years ago, she won the National Book Award for her first memoir, which is called Just Kids, which is wonderful. I loved M Train. Some people love it, like the New York Times loved it. Washington Post hated it, right? Because it's just one of those books you just got to be in the spirit of the book. It doesn't ramble. It doesn't really have a huge point to it, but I find it fascinating. I love Patti Smith. I love her as a human being and just as an artist. And so, she just is an interesting presence in the world, and she looks at the world like an artist looks at the world and a reader looks at the world. So I really, really thoroughly enjoyed it. And then for my book group, I read 10th of December by George Saunders, another book I loved, and I knew reading it. It's a collection of stories, and they have a science fictiony tinge to them, some of the stories, and they're all kind of set in this kind of not far in the future, but they have a slightly futuristic feel to them. They're very funny. They're kind of nuts, and there's just deeply humane, as is George Saunders. I love him. And so I loved him. I knew reading it, so my book club is not made up of those kind of readers. My friend Danielle, who has moved, if Danielle were here, she could run with it. That's a book that she, I don't know, she would have embraced it, but she would have read it and liked it and gotten it. And unfortunately, the other two people in my book club who probably would have had interesting things to say, Liz and, I can't think of who else, I can see her, but and it doesn't matter to you. The other two people, Suzanne, weren't there. And the people who were there, I just knew they're not going to have read the book, and they hadn't. One person started it, and she just couldn't get into it, and blah, blah, blah. So, but I knew that going in. I knew it going in. I was like, we're not even going to talk about the book, and we didn't. But I loved it. Again, both of these books are maybe a little bit of an acquired taste. If it's not, they might not be your thing, but you might be quirky and weird and think, hey. Or you might be not quirky and perfectly normal and think, hey, I really like these books. So I'll leave that to you. But I enjoyed that. I'm not sure what I'm going to read next. There are a number of books. It's like, Kate Morton has a new book coming out, or it may be out. If it's not out, it's coming out this week. But I think I'm going to put that on my Christmas list. And it's like JoJo Moyes has a new book out or a book coming out. I think that would be for the Christmas list as well. It's a sequel to Me Before You. So hey, so yeah, Margaret Atwood has a new book out. That may be for the Christmas list as well. I want to make sure I have a bunch of great books to read at Christmas. So I don't know what I'm reading next. So if you got any ideas, let me know. One more thing, recommend Acorn TV, streaming TV, British TV. It's pretty cheap. It's got a nice long free trial period, and then it's just like $6 or $7 a month. And I have discovered a new show that I love called Outnumbered. And it's just contemporary British family, very funny stuff. So anyway, if you're looking for stuff to watch while you're quilting and you have not checked out Acorn TV, I suggest you check it out. And it's got all those sort of moody British crime detective things going, series too. So, and Doc Martin. So there you go. Lots to look at. All right. I'm sure the first time I recorded this, I said many other really interesting, profound things. Those are lost to time and space now. I have no idea. I guess there's my sound waves are still moving through the air somewhere, but they are lost to us. So I think I will finish up now. It's a beautiful Saturday afternoon. My plan is to go to the store, go to the gym, and then come home, have some pizza, drink some wine, and watch the Great British Baking Show. Bakers, bake. I hope you're watching that. I love it. The first season is on Netflix now. Coolness. All right, then. I hope you're having a lovely day, a lovely week, a really good October. I will see you soon. Until that time, life is short. Quilt first.